You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027.
Mango's temporary stall yesterday is just further evidence that the local airline industry continues to be buffeted by extraordinary turbulence from the pandemic and its knock to tourism in particular. But to be honest, I think if you ask anyone in the local airline industry, the writing for Mango was on the wall long before COVID. I'm joined now by Fly Safair Chief Marketing Officer Kirby Gordon. Kirby, welcome to the show. And I think, you know, aside from the obvious drain on the vanishing taxpayer funds, the never-ending saga of Mango and SAA is just a symptom of something more deeply wrong in South Africa, the inability of the shareholder to discern between matters of national pride and those of commercial sustainability. On the other hand, does what's going on at Mango surprise you at all?
It's an interesting to watch it all go down. I mean, the reality is that we've obviously been all fighting as it is to survive, given everything that's happened in the past year and a bit. And, you know, given the nature of aviation, what happens is that we're continuing to sort of fight to effectively stem the bleed. And so your cash flow is, of course, the major thing that you have to watch. And inevitably, it's this race to the end. Who can hold on? Who can stem as much bleed as they possibly can to make sure that they're, forgive the pun, but their runway is as long as possible to ensure that they get to the end point. And clearly, you know, Mango are reaching the end of their runway.
And in terms of Fly Safair's runway, I suppose, you know, airlines have a fixed cost component and there's certain things that you just have to pay for. Other areas you can trim down. Sadly, we've seen airlines trimming down human capital costs and salaries and wages can be trimmed. You know, other things can't be trimmed, sadly. What are you seeing through the business through this period?
Well, I mean, that's absolutely it. You know, you've got these incredibly heavy overheads that you have to manage throughout the, you know, throughout your operation, regardless of whether you're flying or not. And there are these massive assets. And, you know, unfortunately, we always lament our incredibly thin margins. But that is the reality that we face. And so what we've had to try and do is just to manage those as best we can. So that's been a lot of discussion with our various, business partners, with our lessors. And then, of course, also, you know, intense negotiations with our staff to ensure that, you know, that we're all sort of making the contributions and the sacrifices that we need to do to get us to the end of that. We were quite fortunate in that we went into the lockdown period in quite a strong position. And obviously that sort of helped us to get through a lot of what we've had to do. But there's been a lot of, you know, a lot of smart thinking that we've had to do and a lot of decisions that had to be made on the fly, in order to be able to ensure that we've got the length of, to continue this analogy, of the length of runway that we need to see us through to the other side of this.
And it is then hoping for demand to start picking up again, because I think, you know, there is this myth that that airlines are not price takers. In fact, that's exactly what they are, because you really have to respond to the forces of supply and demand. And if people are not demanding bums on seats, then you've got to, you know, drop prices to encourage that. What are you seeing in terms of pricing in the market at the moment? Because I was looking at flying over Easter, and I was really surprised at the prices being substantially less than what I had expected.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, you hit the nail on the head. We are absolutely price takers. And as much as I'm the chief marketing officer, and of course we espouse all of our wonderful virtues in terms of brand, and we like to think that we differentiate our product by offering a great service and being on time. The reality is that we operate the same aircraft. We fly through the same airports. No one can fly faster than anybody else. You know, it is a highly commoditized service that we offer. And so, you know, as with any other commodity market, supply and demand really do dictate what sort of price point that you arrive at. And the dynamic at play at the moment is a surplus of supply. I mean, so much so, in fact, that airlines in South Africa are only operating about 70 to 80% of what they're capable of doing. So we're actually, in a sense, sort of constricting the supply in order to keep those prices at a point that is just tenable to cover the operating costs so that we can effectively sort of stem our own bleed. Wow. But the reality is that the demand is just not meeting what is out there and what could still be out there in terms of supply. And that does have that effect of dropping the prices. So yeah, Easter was very affordable. I want to tell you, going forward into May now, you know, it's generally quite a slow month for us. There's very little from the leisure space, for example. So if anyone is looking to get away, I think there are going to be some fantastic deals in May. But it's not great for us as airlines. I mean, we're not getting those yields. And you know, you could sell every seat on an aircraft at some of our price points and still operate at a roaring loss.
Wow.
Because that's just the way the market works.
Wow. Airlines, I mean, another way of looking at that is that airlines are effectively subsidizing travelers at the moment. And travel and tourism really should be punted as a patriotic duty. I recall former US President Ronald Reagan imploring the American consumer to shop till you drop, to get out there and to support the US economy. And we need similar clarion calls, don't we, to reignite the local tourism industry. And I know it's talking to your book because you're an airline, but it's such an important industry. It's a big employer, it's a big taxpayer, and at this stage, we need all sort of hands on deck.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, that is absolutely true in terms of the way it you know, manifests in terms of the tourism industry specifically. But I think largely, you know, there's sort of umpteen examples of how air connectivity, it's just an economic enabler on a general sense, you know, whether it be through tourism, whether it be through facilitating the ease of doing business. And I know there's a lot of discussion about, you know, are we entering a new world where, you know, facilities and Zoom and Microsoft Teams and all of these will be replacing the way that we do business. And perhaps, yes, to a certain extent. But the reality is that just the movement of people and goods between places and that ability to do so sort of directly and quickly certainly stimulates economies. And it is. It's an enabler. It's a big enabler, just like roads are, just like rail is. It's important.
What were the Easter travel numbers like? Are you starting to see some return to the kind of levels that we were pre-pandemic, or are we still some way away?
No, we're still quite a good distance away from the pre-pandemic numbers. I mean, obviously at this stage now, we're starting to look and compare back to 2019 because we've sort of started heading into the dark period in terms of historical data. And obviously around about this time, we were all very much under lockdown.
Yeah.
But the numbers are nowhere near what they were beforehand. As I say, I think we're sort of sitting at about 70-80% of what we were seeing then, which is over the Easter period, which is, you know, fantastic considering where we've been previously, but obviously not quite enough. And that's just, when I say that 70-80%, that's in terms of bums and seats. Unfortunately, the sort of gearing effect there is, of course, that much lower yield. So that's not helping the sort of bigger picture at all.
If you to look ahead, though, that the direction of travel seems to be in your favor, it once again boils down to how quickly we can get the vaccine rolled out and the interminable delays and issues around no-fault funds and setting those up and negotiating with the various pharmaceutical companies and pointing fingers at who dropped the ball inside government. I mean, all of that doesn't really help us. We just need to get the vaccine rolled out as quickly as possible. What are you projecting forward through the rest of the year?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think the vaccine, you know, sort of rollout, as you say, if we can get that going faster, would be great. And that would certainly stimulate a lot of the domestic stuff. I think what we as an industry are looking forward to, and I say that in the broader sense, as a tourism industry, not just as an aviation industry, is for kind of extended connectivity to the rest of the world to come in again. You know, we do rely quite extensively on that foreign inbound tourism. So that'll be great to see that return too. So, I mean, we're hoping for things to improve as we head toward the end of the year. We're still effectively waiting to kind of stand up on what was a battlefield and sort of see who's left, in as much as, you know, consumers' kind of disposable income. Obviously, we're all waiting to see where the economy nets out as a result of this, but we know that unemployment figures are not fantastic and that every consumer out there is having to tighten their belts. And we're yet to sort of see the true effect of that, I think, in terms of particularly leisure travel. So that'll be yet to manifest. So we're not looking for a sort of immediate recovery or a very quick bounce back. I think our sort of timelines see that happening over the next 2 to 3 years. But us as an industry, which is sort of characterized by drama and sort of soap opera antics, things change so quickly for us on an overnight basis. You know, we just have to really be poised and ready to take advantage of any opportunity that may present itself.
I think the only certainty might be that the year is 2030 and we've still got the Department of Public Enterprises trying to turn around SAA with the 15th CEO in 15 years. I say that in jest, obviously. Kirby, a great pleasure chatting to you, and all the best in continuing to navigate these turbulent times.
Thank you very much.